Friends, next we talk about these terminologies: personal management, industrial relations, HRM and HRD. All these terminologies are being used loosely by many people. We'll get in touch with what means what. Let's take the first one, personal management. What is it concerned with? This is the first term that was coined before the HR term came in. Initially, we used to have administration department. And administration department, gradually this particular term came in, personal management. Then the personal department came in, administration board was removed and personal was put, no changes took place. So the personal department was actually handling all the admin functions plus a little bit of personal human relations and recruitment selection process, period. Then actually what does it mean? It means it's concerned with the manpower planning, recruitment, selection, transfer, promotion and development, layoff, retrenchment, remuneration, incentives. A whole lot of things was involved in the personal management process. How is it different from HR? HR is slightly different. HR has got all these things, but it's something more than that, which we'll discuss later. Next came industrial relations. IR or industrial relations is to deal with union management relations. There are legal aspects in that. Joint consultations, collective bargaining, grievances, disciplinary procedures, etc. It's a tough job. It's a very tough job. In fact, my suggestion to people who want to pursue a career in HR, who want to actually go and work in an HR in an organization, is to first start off by getting into an IR type of a function for a couple of years. When you work in an IR function, industrial relations area, you start developing toughness to handle people, and you also get into the legal aspects of human resources working. Once that mastery is done, then you go back and go to an HR function in a back office, something like a manpower planning or something, it becomes much more easier for you to understand what is what. This is my experience as far as HR is concerned. HRM and HRD. Now, human resources management, what is it? It includes personal management, industrial relations, plus welfare covering working conditions and amenities. How is it different? Here's the difference. I'm giving a different picture altogether. I say that human resources management is about caring for the employee over and above just hiring them. You can note it down. Personal management is addressing the employee on a 9-to-5 thinking process. Okay? It's very simple. You see, you're working for me from 9-to-5. I'm not just giving you money. I'm not being impersonal with you. I care for you. When the caring aspect came, personal management was born. So long as you are with me from 9 to 5, I'll take care of you. So I'll give you some good amenities and all that. So I have a care for you. You know, when I was in my employment years back, at the time, somewhere say about 8 to 10 years after I started my career as a trainee engineer, I used to work in an organization, an MNC. And that was a time when, you know, the HR movement had just started. Prior to that, whatever we did from 9 to 5, only that mattered. So there is an example which I quote very often in the class also. It's about there was a worker. I was a production engineer in a Tata company. There was a worker who used to come late. He used to come late regularly, and then I had to pull him up. Now when I pulled him up, I had this type of an HR orientation towards people. So when I pulled him up, you know, I had a talk with him over a cup of tea in the canteen, workers' canteen. And I asked him, what's the matter with you? He had a respectfulness towards me. And when he spoke to me, he started crying. He says, I have an issue at home. I took this issue to my production manager and I told him, sir, this is the problem. He says, listen, we are here to perform. We don't have to carry somebody's home issues into the place. This is the way we were working, because that was the climate those days. Now that is a typical personal management approach. So long as he is with us, we'll take care of him. But outside what he does, beyond 9 to 5, before 9 a.m. and after 5 p.m., whatever he does is not in our gamut of thinking. That is personal management process. HRM, what does it do? HRM, the terminology I give is, HRM is a 24/7 process. HRM believes that the man is a complete individual. He is not a professional person when he comes to the office, isolated from the other parts of his life. So what he does before 9 a.m. matters to the company. What he does after 5 p.m. also matters to the company. Today we are talking about vision. Today we talk about company integrity. We talk about many, many things. So when we want that, we want people who are complete, who are total individuals. So it matters to us. I'll give you an example. Imagine a person who's staying in a chawl, who's staying in a very rented chawl. He's struggling for his day-to-day life. But he's a brilliant guy. Being brilliant, he works very hard in the company and he grows to become the works manager. I'm giving a bombastic example. Huh? He becomes a works manager. But he continues to remain in the chawl. Do you think he will be able to do the works manager's job well? No. What will happen to him? Either he will not be able to perform well or he will be having problems at home. So, HRM process says that, look, this man is doing, he's become risen to the level of a works manager. Don't you think he should also live in a home which is commensurate with his position? They care for him. They don't buy him a house. They'll give him a loan or they'll give him a quarters which is making him comfortable. So after a heavy day's job in the factory, when he goes back home, he has a surroundings where he can relax. And when he is feeling happy at home, he brings the happiness of home into the plant. And so a happy works manager becomes a happy householder and vice versa. This is HRM process. So HRM is a 24/7 process, whereas personal management is a 9/5 process. One simple way of remembering. Okay. Now comes HRD. What is human resource development? Which comes first? HRMs come first. HRD is a progress of the individual to make him more skilled and to take him to higher levels of performance and achievements. Training and development, performance management, organization development. Okay, these are some of the things that they go through. See, it's all given here. More concerned with the training and development, career planning, development and organization developments. His ego needs. You know, nobody would like to work and stagnate in the same place. None of us would like to do that. So, you know, when we join an organization, initially we make ourselves comfortable, we perform, we grow, we achieve, and we get rewards. But we say, no, ye dil mange more, I want to go higher. So when I want to go higher, there has to be an HRD in position in the organization. Unfortunately, in many organizations, which even I visit, you know, very big brands I'm talking about, no names mentioned here, you know, they do not have an HRD. They believe, some organizations have got a credo. They believe that if people come in, automatically they'll develop. No, sir, it doesn't happen. Today, we need multi-skilled force. We need a workforce which is diverse in everything. And that diverse force needs to be guided properly. So there has to be a very defined timetable of development. Training is different, development is different. Okay, development is about the person. Training is about the domain skills. If I'm a programmer, I need to be trained into becoming a better programmer in my programming area. For example, just to give you a very simple example, if I'm working on a computer and the computer is having a, let's say, XP. Now, XP, I want to upgrade it to, say, Windows 7. So, Windows 7 ka some features I need to learn. That is training, domain skills, upgradation of domain skills. But whereas development is about some part of me, human part of me, I may not be a team player. I may be very good, but when it comes to a team, I'm getting into conflict with people. So, the organization has got two choices. Either they kick me out because I'm not good as a team player, or they'll say we won't retain him because he's good in his skills. So they'll send me for a team playing workshop. They'll send me to a development workshop where I will be inducted to some skills by the trainer to make me a team player. That's development. And development doesn't take place overnight. It's a gradual process. We need patience, perseverance, and we also need to have immense amount of optimistic hope about human beings. See, human resources management, the bottom line is never give up on people. Because people come in different shapes, sizes, colors and backgrounds. People are different. When people are different, what are we coming together for? As a human being, all of us go through that, isn't it? So, you know, suppose you say something different from what I think, I have a conflict with you. But if you're an HR person, you have to think, you have to stop and ask yourself a question. Why is this happening? Now, all that comes under development. This is a very important area of study, is an important area. A lot of research is going on. See, today we are in a global working, isn't it? Now, let's say you work in an IT company. Now, in an IT company, we got multiple diverse cultural forces coming in. We got people from, say, US coming in, Mexicans come in, we got Indians, we got people from China, Singapore all coming in. Now, all these multicultural people, when they work together, each one's ambitions are different. Now, how to bring them together? How to develop them together? a software developer, an Indian software developer, will have an ambition which is 6 points on a scale of 10. I'm just giving you an example. Whereas if you find a US guy who's coming in, he may have an ambition which is 9 on a scale of 10. A person coming from a very underdeveloped country, some part of, you know, maybe some part of Africa which is still not developed, he may have an ambition which is much lower. Now, all these people are working together. The organization has to ensure that the development takes place. Now, that is very important for the health and the wealth of the organization. It's very important. So, HRD is this. So, what we've discussed right now, friends, we have discussed what is personal management, industrial relations, HRM and HRD. I would expect you not to use these words with ambiguity in the future after listening to this conversation. Okay? HRD comes later. HRM has to be first put in place. Taking it further, friends, what does personal management entail in terms of functions? Personal management has got manpower planning, recruitment and selection, transfers and promotions, training and development, layoff, what we call it as golden handshake or retrenchment, remuneration and incentive. These is all coming under personal management. The basic functions required to maintain people in an organization and keep them happy and motivated. 9-to-5 approach. What is industrial relations talking about? Union management relationships, joint consultations, collective bargaining. Why do we need to do this? Because at that level of the operational working, friends, there are a lot of legal issues. At the time of talking to you, friends, right now, at this point of time, one of the major auto manufacturers in India is facing an issue. I'm not mentioning the name. You'll guess it. Right? Now, there's a lot of, you know, activity going on IR right now. The state government is involved, the government of India is involved, and lots of, you know, things are going on. Every day I'm reading every part of it, wherever. It's a very interesting case for us to understand what has gone wrong. Because industrial relations is very intricate. There are so many factors that come. And tough, if you want to really become a good HR person, handle IR first. IR has got a lot of legal issues. You know the legal part of human beings. You also know the legal part of organizations. You also know the collective emotions of people, groups, sociological aspects. All this gives you industrial relations exposure. It's very important. Now, what is human resources development function? Career planning, career development, training and development, OD, organization development. All these are coming under that. I'll be covering them as we take the chapters in the future. And human resources management is talking about personal management, IR, employee welfare, working conditions, amenities. Okay, friends. So now we take the next point, which is HRM processes, the various activities we have in HRM. Okay, they're all put in the form of a small spider chart. We have what is called a job analysis, which is about analyzing the job. Okay, now there are two aspects. One is a job, the other one is a job holder. Now, what is a job? A job is a set of activities, number of activities we need to do. So, let's say a person has to do a salesman's job, a sales executive. So, I need to analyze what is a sales executive's job, put down all the various points and, you know, actually separate each of the small activities and the sub-activities into different small units. And after doing that, I analyze the job, and then after analyzing it, I describe the job by removing the best and throwing away the rest. For example, a salesman is supposed to be doing prospecting. He has to write reports. Then the reports have to be given in certain frequency of time. Some steps are there. So I need to put the steps. Before arriving at the step, I need to define what is a job. So first I define the job, then I analyze it. Then I give a job description. After the job description will come what? After the job description, we'll be having what is called as a job profile, a job profile, or what is called as a job specification. Now those are the steps. Then we have manpower planning for the future requirements of people in the organizations, HR. Recruitment and selection. Recruitment is all about telling people that we need manpower, telling the world that we need people because there are vacancies in the company. And the world responds through applications. These applications, we process them and we separate the ones which are not in line with our job spec sheet, and we keep the ones which are in line with the job spec sheet, and we call those people for interview. When we send call letters, the recruitment process is over. Selection process is all about when people come for the interview, all the different steps they take. the interview with the HR, then the interview with the HOD of the concerned department to which the person is applied. Then maybe there's another panel interview. All different combinations we can have for interviewing methods. We could be having a recruitment selection happening internally to the organization, or we can be recruiting people from outside. And then the selection process may be having written test, group discussion, technical interview, psychometric test, all different combination depending upon the requirement of the job and the company culture and what they think is required in terms of the recruitment policy which they create. Their selection process can be according to that, rather the selection policy, right? Then we come to motivation, very important part of it, employee engagement. The backbone of any HRM process is human motivation. Why should people work with you is a question you need to ask. And to keep people working constantly with a high level of motivation is a very important challenge. See, all of you will agree that in the morning when you get up, most of us are very energetic in the morning. Our motivation is very high. And we make big promises. And by afternoon, the promises have gone, vanished into thin air. Again, when afternoon, post lunch, you know, you are feeling a little sluggish. Somehow you pump yourself up and you start working. And then suddenly you may find a burst of energy around evening. So, we all go through varying levels of biorhythms. So, because of which, you know, keeping people motivated all the time is a challenge. That's the role of an HR person. I've seen many organizations, the HR person himself is not motivated and he is hired as an HR person. In fact, I would say you look for a quality, the most important quality in hiring an HR person is whether he is himself motivated. Is he a people person? Is he a person who is able to connect to people? If you are not a person who can connect to people, you may be pathetic in HR. You may know all the HR procedures. I've seen many HR people, they know all the HR procedures. They are very good in that. But when it comes to people connection and people engagement, they are very poor because that is not the personality they have in them. So, this is an important aspect. If I am motivated, I can motivate you. And I can see through certain aspects of you and yet I can work with you. That's important. Training and development, which is about the technical domain upgradation and the human domain upgradation. Employee welfare, taking care of people over and above just the basics that you're giving them. Pick up and drop by a company bus from residence to office and back. You know, medical facilities, these are all coming under employee welfare. Performance appraisal to know how well the work has been done. How well the job holder who is doing the work has done it well. How much amount of skills he has used. Is there any deficiency? Do we need to give him some training and development, some counseling? So I need to appraise the job after it is done. Compensation administration, it's all about salary, wages and salary administration. Wages are earned by daily workers, whereas salary is earned by people who are on the payrolls of the company. So an important aspect of HRM is compensation, benefits, administration. Now this is not a function to be done by HR alone. HR and finance have to come together. So this is one function which is cross-discipline. It's important that a HR person should know finances pretty well. He need not be a chartered accountant, but certainly he has to know this, which is again found lacking in many organizations. So this is an interface function. Next comes separation function, wherein employees leaving the organizations or the people who are asked to leave, either resignations or retirements. And resignations can be of different types. People who are laid off because of the company going through a slowdown. The company is shutting down, so we are retrenching people. So there are different terminologies that come under a separation process. So these constitute the HRM process, different steps or different activities which we do here. Next we go down to the HRM process. The first one is job analysis. Now what are we doing in this? The process of collecting job related information in order to design the job. I want to know what sort of a job needs to be done. So I collect all the information and I analyze it. And then after analyzing it, there are some activities that must be done. What are called as the core activities, KRA is related to that. Then there are support functions. So those have to put them, compile them together and create what is called as a job description. this job description. To that, we had the human element. Who is going to do the job which I've described? What sort of qualities he needs to have? What sort of background? What sort of qualifications, temperament, attitude, etc.? So all those human elements are put along with the job description to give you what is called as a job specification or the job profile as we popularly call it today. Then we come down to manpower planning. It's a process of forecasting an organization's future demand for and supply of the right type of people at the right time. The right person for the right job, manpower planning. Imagine IT companies, large IT companies have got a manpower requirement, annual manpower requirement of, they hire somebody, something like 20 to 25,000, 30,000 employees per year. Now, this is at different levels. And this hiring has to take place at different points of time during the calendar year. So, it's a very important task of understanding, mapping, which department needs what type of people at what level, what sort of a background. So this is a complete planning process on a timetable which has to be dynamic. One important point to be noted in manpower planning is when you plan for materials, you get the materials for sure when you order. You plan for machines, you get the machines for sure when you order. When you plan for money and the sanction is already taken place by the bank, you are for sure you'll get the money. But when it comes to manpower planning, after issuing an appointment letter to a manpower resource, there's no guarantee that he will join the company. It becomes challenging. So unlike the other three M's, machine, materials and money, manpower planning is very tricky because manpower is a living organism. And because man is living and he has got thoughts, he thinks, he discriminates, so he makes choices. He will come to your organization, he'll go through the entire round of interviews, he'll get selected, he'll go to the medical test, you're making him an offer letter and you are waiting and you're telling your boss that this person is joining, and then suddenly the person calls up or he doesn't even call up and he tells you, I'm not joining. He takes your appointment letter and goes to another competitor to go and negotiate, and then he gets a job there, and he may not take the job if he's one of those persons who keeps on negotiating. Now this is the tricky part of manpower planning. In a manpower planning, when I have numbers, when I say, for example, that this month I've got a timetable of hiring 60 people, I can't be sure whether 60 will be hired totally in terms of joining the company. I can't be sure about it. It's very tricky. So here, when we are studying manpower planning as a standalone subject, we use mathematical models to understand how the manpower planning has to take place. You cannot be accurate in this. You come near a ballpark figure because we are dealing with human beings. Okay, friends. Next, we talk about recruitment and selection. It refers to the imparting of requisite skills, abilities, and knowledge to an employee. Recruitment, as I told you, has got four steps. The first step is announcing to the world that we need people. Second step, the people respond through applications. Third step, you segregate the applications from the ones which are in line with the job specification sheet. And the ones which are in line with the job specification sheet, you actually send call letters to them. Fourth step. So once the call letters are sent, the recruitment process is over. Okay. Now, after the recruitment process is over, I'm explaining recruitment process right now. And then I'll come to training and development, right? Now, what is selection? In selection, I'm actually taking people through the various selection stages. Now, after selecting, the person joins, he's placed. When he's placed, what happens? There is a certain requirement from his abilities and skills. Now, when there's a certain requirement from abilities and skills, he starts working. Now, we all know that there is a promise versus a performance. So when the promise and performance is falling short, there's a requirement for filling up the gap. That gap can be filled either by counseling, by certain amount of, you know, communication and setting right certain notions if it's temporary. But if it continues, then the person has to go for training and development. Now there's one form of training and development which is called as induction and orientation. At the time of joining a company, you need to get oriented to the culture of the company, to the job functions, to the department where you're going in, to make you familiar. That's called as a socialization process. Okay, now that is one part of training that is given at the time when you're joining the organization. Now, after you join the organization, you start working, and when the first appraisal takes place, you realize that there's a gap. If it's a small gap, minor, it is resolved, there is no need for training and development. But if the gap continues, then I have two choices. Either I remove you from the company, which is done in certain organizations, but a right thinking organization will try to retain you, and what they'll do is they'll put you into training and development. Training is to do with the technical skills, whereas development is to do with the human skills and the conceptual skills. There are three skills which we develop when we are in an organization: training, technical skills; development is human skills and conceptual skills; and the development skills are basically human related. It's subjective. I may develop myself faster as compared to someone else. So on development, there is no guarantee. When a person will become a team player, when the person will be a conflict management person, we cannot say. So developmental training, which is all about changing behaviors of people, making them get into adaptive behaviors for the requirements of the company, is a challenge. So recruitment selection, when we are doing, at that point of time, when we select a person, we've got to have the keenness to know that this person is a person who can be developed fastest if the need arises. So now we say, people with attitudes. So that's a very important checklist which companies need to take into account. You see, it's nice to have a smart guy, intelligent person, a topper from a university who's excellent in what he is doing. But if he has an attitude issue, he will screw up the whole organization's climate. So it's important that as much as you're a topper, as much as you're brilliant, you must also have some human skills and some attitudes of developing yourself. Otherwise, instead of becoming an asset to the company, he'll become a liability in the long run. Employee welfare, I've explained this already to you. It ensures that an employee receives other benefits and services like good working conditions, retirement benefits, leave, encashment, etc. Okay. Performance appraisal is an objective assessment of individual's performance against the individual's objectives or benchmark laid down. Very simple. I'm doing a job. After doing a job, we have to know how well I've done the job. How well the job is done. The job is done how well means whether I do it or somebody else does it. First, we have to assess whether the job has been properly done. Then the person who has done the job is going to be doing the job in the future also. So how well I have done it, how well I have developed the skills, that's the second part of it. That's performance appraisal. Right? And this is done. What do we appraise? We appraise, I made a promise of delivering 100 units at the beginning of the year. The year is over and I've got to ask myself a question. How many units have delivered? Have I delivered 120? Have I delivered 80? 80 means it's a shortfall of 20. 120 means it's a surplus of 20. Then I ask questions. What made me deliver more or less? What is it that I need to do to achieve the target? Blah, 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 blah. So analysis is done. And through the analysis, we come to know whether the person is requiring training and development or not. Compensation administration. It's about employees receiving their wages and salaries in return for their contribution to the organization. It is administrative aspect that is looked after by HRM. Back office job. You know, wages and salary administration, creating payrolls monthly, that's done by the back office people. Then the separation process is about when an employee leaves an organization, either voluntarily or involuntarily, there's a separation process coming in. Resignation is a voluntary separation, while dismissal or retrenchment is an involuntary separation. When I leave the company, I'm leaving it on my own. That's resignation. But when I get pushed out of the company due to certain reasons, then it's a involuntary thing. It's not, I'm not voluntarily wanting to go. The company is throwing me away for whatever reasons.